KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Project Northwest on Friday, September 6th at 10 p.m. at the Atlantis Lounge inside Mississippi Pizza in Portland. Project Northwest is a local zine that helps promote local hip-hop and R&B artists with an emphasis on showcasing artists that identify as Black and POC, LGBTQIA+, women, and artists who experience disabilities. Again, that's Project Northwest on Friday, September 6th at 10 p.m. at the Atlantis Lounge inside Mississippi Pizza, 3552 North Mississippi in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio wants to hear from you, our dear listeners and members, about why you support KBOO, why you listen, and why others should support the radio station. Please call 503-231-8032, extension 302, and tell us your name, what KBOO means to you, and why do you continue to support KBOO. Again, that's 503-231-8032, extension 302. Thank you for supporting your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
I love how you know the lyrics to that one.
It is a stupidly catchy song. How could I not know the lyrics to that song?
Especially on a Friday. It's like you just wake up and you just hear
it. It's just in my head.
It describes literally the day.
Yes.
It's Friday.
Hello, Portland. This is Pacific Underground. I am your host, Tabitha Teo, and I am joined by
Jenny Yokoyama.
And today, you know, I looked up on the calendar and it is exactly 6 months since our last Asian Femme time.
Actually, I looked on the calendar too.
Oh.
And it's actually been a year.
A year?
It was that. Okay, so if you look at the Pacific Underground schedule list, you'll see that 6 months ago we actually re-aired Asian Femme Time as a rebroadcast. Because we had actually done Asian Femme Time. Tabitha and I did Asian Femme Time in September of 2018. So it's been nearly a year.
That's what I saw. Yeah the re-air date.
Yeah, so
in
today
March.
Is Asian Femme Time version 2.
2.0.
Or I don't know. I was like, remix? I don't know. It's not even remix. It's just the same
life
tool,
update.
Tabitha and Jenna.
Life update. A year later. Asian Femme Time, 1 year later.
Okay, so, Tabitha.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's been going on for last year? Okay, that's too big of a question. Let's talk about... let's talk about what you did last Friday for the first time ever in Radioland.
So exciting. So exciting. So, I got board op training, and I board opped last Friday.
Not just board op. She didn't just run the board. What did you do?
I DJ'd a show.
I DJ'd a show.
It was the best show, just letting y'all know. And if y'all missed it, you can listen to it on KBOO.fm. And I cannot remember what you can type into search to look for.
You can type in video game music and chihuahuas, because that's literally what she did her show
about. My two favorite things.
It was an amazing show, Tabitha. Congratulations on becoming DJ Tabs.
Yay! And it was so much fun, and it was really fun to share some of my favorite music with people. And someone called in saying, it's like, this is a great show. It's like, yay! And so I also saw a message on KBOO's website that I never thought I'd hear X song on the radio. Thanks for playing. It's like, yay! Validation.
Okay. So, very exciting. You played video game music. That was really awesome. But the more important part of that DJ set was that
essential.
What did you do for the first time?
I've been wanting to do this for 3 years, 3.5 years, but I finally got Chihuahua barking on the radio. Yes!
Life goals.
Life goals.
That bucket list. Just yes. Check, check, check.
Now, and, you know, when we were brainstorming on ideas for today's show, I was like, can we just play an hour of Chihuahua Barking? Somehow no one said yes. I can't understand why. I don't know why.
Because for some people, that's literally just their lives. They own a Chihuahua.
And other people, it's pure torture.
Okay, so DJ Tabs, will we hear future music shows from you here
on
the Boo?
I would love to. I have so many ideas for music shows I want to do. Like, since I'm a huge sci-fi fan, I like to do a sci-fi set. I'm kind of getting into Deadmau5 and some EDM music, like techno music fans, please don't at me.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so now I'm just imagining that the next time you DJ something, you're just like in there, you got your mixer.
Got two turntables and a microphone.
Exactly, you're just scratching stuff, and you're just Whoa. Like gigantic headphones.
Yeah.
Just dancing.
Just rocking out.
In mm-hmm. there, and like somehow you've also got the lighting going mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
I'm down with this. But also there's like 10 chihuahuas.
Oh, boy, you know it.
Just...
You know there's
just bark,
like,
and you're remixing the barks.
Yes, I'm going to remix the barks and integrate them into a sick EDM beat.
Well, I'll say that will make me proud to have another API DJ, because I like that. We have Anjali. So good.
Shout out to Anjali.
Shout out to Anjali on Tuesday nights. So when everybody is ready for the pure hour of just Chihuahua barking.
Oh boy,
tune in or call our program director and let her know, Aaron, that all you want is all Chihuahuas all the time. Okay, so that was big radio
Yay.
Updating in life. What other radio updates do we have? Oh, I got a job.
Yes.
Here.
You want to tell us about your sick new job?
Yeah, I got a way sick new job. I'm the public affairs director now here. That's an update from last year. Go, Jenna. Working.
You are like a real adult now.
I know.
You have a full-time job
benefits.
In radio? I mean, what? I feel like this is the millennial dream. I hear that... more companies are doing contract work because they don't want to pay all those taxes
yeah.
and employee benefits. It's just so easier to put people in perpetual contract and never pay taxes on them and make them liable for everything. And so I feel like especially for people of our generation and people after us, it's going to be such a bigger life goal getting a full-time job with benefits at a company.
I mean, I'm 37, and so it's like in my head, it's like, oh yes, this is like normal thing for people my age, but
mm-hmm.
unfortunately it's not, you know. It's
yeah.
like I think when we were maybe teenagers, you know, we saw our baby
yeah.
boomer parents going
mm-hmm.
through what was working, it was
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
okay, yeah, you'll get that benefit job, and I thought that would happen, you know, like straight out of college.
Me too.
And then
it is a lie of the American
yeah.
dream.
And so I think it's interesting that okay, compared to like a year ago
mm-hmm.
on our last Asian Femme time, now we both have full-time jobs with benefits.
Woo!
Oh my, okay, wait, let's just do that. Benefits.
We need an applause for the millennial.
And then,
for the
yeah,
millennial
and then,
hustle.
And then talking about how right on the possible verge of a recession, they keep using
Oh,
the
it makes
R-word.
Me so scared.
I'm just like, oh my God, we are rare, rare unicorns who mm-hmm. have full-time jobs. Let's knock on wood. Oh my God, that we keep
yeah.
the jobs and benefits.
And
it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I feel very lucky. I feel very, very lucky.
Life update for me that a few months ago, I also got a full-time job
yeah.
and with benefits, like...
Thank you.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Yes. Bows
applause,
all around.
Applause.
Yes. Deep bows.
Mind blowing. And I'm incredibly grateful. Yeah. And I signed up for my company's health benefits, the health insurance last week. It's like,
and
yes.
It, but you know what? Yeah. Exactly.
Yay.
But here's the thing now you're never going to catch a cold. Right? Like you're never
I
like
know.
When you don't have the health insurance,
yeah.
it's like, "Oh my God, I need it now."
It's yeah, when I didn't have health insurance, getting sick all the time. Now that I have health insurance, not going to get a call, never call in sick.
But you know what's going to be so exciting now that with the benefits, because my benefits just start on September 1st.
Yay.
I know.
Just a life goal accomplishment.
I like that, you know, there's a crowd saying, wow, Jenna, it's time for you to get glasses. Mm. And because I was doing this thing where I thought I had become more concerned, compassionate, and or angry in life, because I kept noticing, I kept furrowing my brow and squinting my eyes. I was like, man, I'm so concerned all the time now. I really need to stop stressing. And then I realized that, like,
oh,
I
that's
just can't
not concern.
See. Yeah, concern is not you leaning into your screen 3 inches away and saying, oh, this must be compassion. Like,
I wasn't sure how to tell you this, Jenna, but I've been noticing your skin, it's been looking a little sallow.
I know. Oh, okay. So for Asian Femme Time today, this is our thing, right? Because if you remember Asian Femme Time from a year ago, we did the double eyelid tape.
That was fun.
And I have tried it since. It is still equally hard. I cannot get it to look normal. Every time I've tried it, I get a weird sideways, almost vertical eyelid, and that the tape sticks for 2 seconds and then it ends up somewhere halfway down my face.
I kept laughing that, like, while we were talking, it was slowly peeling off. I was trying so hard not to look at your eyelid as it was, like, peeling off your eyes.
Okay, so getting into this Asian Femme Time, what we brought this time for Asian beauty secrets, because as Tabitha is saying, my face is looking, well, it's looking like summer. I've been outside. I've been dehydrated. I've been doing way too much gardening because the blackberry bushes are winning.
They are trying to take over the world.
Yeah, well, they're not trying. They're winning.
They are taking over the world.
Right. Like all the grass, all the animals, everything's going to go extinct during the climate crisis except blackberries and cockroaches. So we brought Asian face masks, which are becoming way, way popular.
So popular. Yeah. It's so funny. I used to see them. There's only at this one Asian beauty store on 82nd that was for like a year or several years ago, that was the only place I could find them. And now I'm seeing them being sold at Target, I think.
Yeah. Like they become an American thing.
Yeah. Face masks.
And in America, they're still pretty cheap. I mean, they're starting to get more high end. I've seen like at the mall, the like higher end makeup brands
have them.
I've seen
some for like $4.99. It's like, you can go buy them for $1.
$1. I know. I've seen them for like $20.
What?
Yeah. Because they have like, they're like the super face masks, probably like sold by SK-II and stuff like that.
My mom a few months ago gave me these Korean skin face masks, and because they're Korean beauty, you know they're good, and she told me they're apparently like $10 a mask.
$10?
I know. I can't read the ingredients list because it's all in Korean, but
that's a good month of Netflix. That's like multiple meals, like,
I know,
for school lunch. Okay, so Tabitha brought a stack of these, and
because Asian aunties, because, like, your skin, the passive aggressive way of saying your skin is not. So, see, if I feel like if I was an Asian auntie, I wouldn't tell you that your skin looks.
Okay, let's role play here. Okay, so Asian auntie me about the problems, quote unquote problems with my face right now.
Jenna, are you sleeping enough?
Yeah, I'm sleeping enough.
What are you eating? Are you eating enough tofu?
Oh, am I looking too skinny?
You might need a face mask. Here's a face mask for you. It'll brighten your skin.
Oh, are you saying that I don't look good?
Make you feel No, it's not that you don't look good. But your skin could use a little improvement.
And then they'll do something like hand you a whitening face mask.
Yes.
I'm literally holding a whitening face mask right now because aunties are great like that.
Yeah.
And perpetuating colorism. So literally,
sunscreen and sun hats.
This one is Pure Botanical Extracts.
Ooh.
And it's a deeper whitening moisturizing mask.
I also want to say the face masks I brought, I never bought any of them. They were
all
gifts.
Right. I've never bought one. I don't know if I've ever bought one, but I have stacks of them because I've been given to them. Maybe I'm like passing them off on other people and they're passing on to me because all Asian friends I know like have a ton of these masks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we just got to unpack this real quick. The deeper whitening mask.
It's like I was gifted two of those. I used one of them once just for fun. And like, I was kind of tempted to like take a before and after. It's like, is my skin actually whiter? But that also just freaked me out way too much. Like, this is way too creepy.
Right? Like skin bleaching. And oh, like, I so don't want to like be judgy on people who, you know, like that's their own thing. And like, if you want to bleach your skin, then like, great. Like, if that's what makes you feel good about you. Yeah. But we have to unpack the colorism.
Yeah. We have to unpack why you're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's kind of like the double eyelid tape where it's like, you know what? Power to you.
If, yeah.
At the same time.
If you think you look better with the double eyelid, go you.
But if you literally think that you're inferior when
without
you have
it,
a monolid or that like you're better than somebody because now you've had whitening, because it's like a, it's such a thing. I mean, like my aunties when I go to Japan like run after me with parasols and the hats, and we've totally talked about this before and like, and then on top of it there's all the pressure to like constantly look young and look good and like moisturize 24 hours a day.
Asian women, Asian, especially East Asian women, have so much pressure on looking good, young and youthful, and I just can't, don't have the energy for that nowadays.
I know I don't know if I don't know if it's just like I don't care or I'm just more secure in myself. Either way, we brought these face masks just to try them out because we need to either talk about how awesome they are or how ridiculous they are. Either way, they're a big part of Asian femme culture.
They're a big part
and
of,
I will say that I see non-femme starting to use them more too. I see more like cis men using them, especially in East Asia, because you know they're way more into like the beauty products and stuff like that. By the way, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Pacific Underground. Jenna here just filling in for today to hang out with Tabitha for Asian Femme Time 2.0. And we're talking about, I don't know, we're just catching up since our last Asian Femme Time a year ago. And we have brought Asian beauty masks. So one of the really popular ones is snail essence. And everybody says that snail essence is the best. And I know many vegans are not for this. Because I have questions about how...
How do they extract...
Is it actually snail?
I believe so. I thought that the snails aren't actually harmed in the process because, you know, as I can't remember what the classification for snail, but as they are crawling along on the ground, they leave the slime trail.
I mean, like when I see them, I'm not like, ooh, look at that snail. I better put that straight on my forehead to like deal with my wrinkles. But okay, so let's do it. We brought paper towels into the studio. Okay, so
I also
forgot
to bring a mirror, so this is going to be really
interesting. No, so we got to be each other's mirror. So we have animal dragon soothing mask. It literally makes you look like a dragon when you're doing it. We have Franken face pack, so you look like Frankenstein when you wear it.
Hey, Halloween's just around the corner.
We have snail essence hydrating mask, which I don't think it's snail. I bet like the really high-end ones are actually snail, and this one's like faux snail.
Yeah.
And then there's...
It's just mucus.
Deeper whitening moisturizing mask. I'm going to avoid deeper whitening moisturizing mask, and I can hear a collective sigh from all of my aunties, especially in Japan, just like,
duh. Your skin, it's
and
not
I'm like,
so good.
You know what? Sometimes there are some benefits to going to America a little bit.
Yeah. I want the dragon mask.
You're going to take dragon mask?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am going to take snail mask, faux snail mask.
I'm also hoping that, so you can sometimes buy these face masks with a print. I mean, we mentioned the Franken mask and the dragon mask.
Yeah.
I want the snail one to also have a snail print on it.
Oh my gosh, I would love
like
that.
Like eye stalks on it.
Can you imagine if they made a chihuahua mask?
Oh my God, I have a face mask. It was part of a dog collection. I think there's one that's a chihuahua face mask.
Wait a minute. You own a chihuahua face mask and you're not like wearing it all the time?
I don't want to ruin it because what if I can't find it again? I feel like I'm going to be a total weirdo.
Okay.
I'm never going to use
Let's open these packages.
Okay.
So if you've never seen these before, I'll try to describe them. They're all individually wrapped and they're basically like, it's almost kind of like a paper towel like thinness. And they're covered in the essence goo, whatever it is. And then they have openings for your mouth and your eyes and your nose so you can breathe. And you end up looking like some weird, creepy...
It's
this is
so funny.
That's the sound of Tabitha tucking a paper towel into her shirt so she doesn't goo on herself.
Because that's the other thing I found out about these face masks. They're incredibly drippy. And I'm always like when I put them on, I'm just dripping everywhere.
Okay, so I've taken mine out of the package, and it what it has is it has like a plastic backing to it. You got to think of it kind of like a Biore pore strip, sort of one of those like things where, okay, now I'm unfolding it, and oh my gosh, it is so this is possibly the slimiest of the snail slimes that I've ever used. This is so creepy looking. It's just an all white mask. I'm sorry, but this looks like Friday the 13th.
I think of serial killers.
Right? Yeah, exactly. This is exactly what I'm thinking of. But so what you do, let's see, let's read the instructions on the back. You're supposed, oh no, the instructions are all in Chinese. Okay, so am I, okay, so there's the backing off. So do I put it on my face and then take the backing off? I think so. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay.
I'm just going for it.
Okay. Hopefully this doesn't block our microphone-ness too much. Okay. Okay. Sonia can't even look at us. Sonia, our engineer right now, is like, so overwhelmed with how awesome we look.
I am Sonia, having trouble
unfolding
mine.
Does this look like your fantasy or your nightmare? She just said yes. So I'm glad that I can fulfill all things. Oh my gosh.
Oh god.
The
worst part is when some of it drips into your mouth and it's so bitter.
Am I supposed to take off the backing?
I'm gonna assume you are supposed to take off the backing.
I feel like awesome. Okay. Oh god. Okay. Okay.
I feel so beautiful now.
Okay. There's only one way to do this. Tabs, take a look at me. We're gonna take some pictures here. Oh my gosh. Okay, and then I'm going to take a selfie. We look totally creepy. You can check that out on kbu.fm after the show. Okay, so how long do we keep these masks on?
I think, like, typically 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
I know.
That's right. Wow, I haven't done one of these in, like, a year. This is why I'm not looking so hydrated.
Oh, mine says 10 to 20 minutes, so I guess if I want to be super hydrated,
oh my gosh. Okay,
minutes.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this for 20 minutes, because it's hard to talk into the microphone
it
at
is
the
hard
same
to talk.
Time. But, okay, so we're going to... We didn't take a before and after picture to see...
We did not to see
how
beautiful,
our skin is. Oh my gosh, this is so drippy. Okay, so... But I am feeling like my full... ethnic heritage.
I know.
Here.
Yeah.
This makes me feel so connected to the ancestors.
My ancestors are so proud of me. Right?
I know,
like,
that.
Oh,
my...
she's taking care of her skin. Good for her.
Yeah, I know that my samurai ancestors totally every day put snails on their face. Like, that was...
They put the snails and let them crawl around.
That was peak high end society. Just kidding. Okay, so we're going to try this and we'll see how long we can tolerate this. So this is Total Asian Femme Time again.
Yeah.
Total Asian Femme Time. Okay, so other
You're
things...
You're listening to Pacific Underground.
Okay, other things that we wanted to catch people up on.
There's some Asian news.
Asian news. Oh, we got Asian news. Okay, so we did something. Oh, Asian news in our lives,
mm-hmm.
that nobody's going to care about but is a big deal for us, is that we're roommates now.
Yes.
That's a big update.
We live together. So I wouldn't say I was a victim of displacement, because I feel like maybe my landlord first displaced the original people that, but whatever. I got news that I had to move, like, at the start of the year, and you let me move into your place, and we've been living together since May.
And I'll say it's fun.
It's been working out
it's
so
fun.
Far. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Part of the living together means that the other day, mm-hmm. we celebrated a 20-year anniversary that is so important for America.
This was formative in my youth.
We watched The Matrix.
Oh, yeah. Still quotable. Keanu Reeves, greatest actor of our generation. I'll fight anyone that thinks otherwise.
I mean, I was shocked when you told me that The Matrix was 20 years
I
old.
I know. I heard that from a friend. It's like, is The Matrix really 20? Oh God, it is 20 years. See, now I feel even better doing the face masks, because I feel like it's preventing my face just disintegrating into dust.
What? And realizing that The Matrix is 20 years
is
old.
Realizing
I mean,
The Matrix
like, Keanu
is
Reeves
old.
Look like baby Keanu.
Oh, he's so young. It's like, oh, you have such a smooth face. Look at your face.
I know, and even back then, he was still like my Asian hero.
Because
mm-hmm. he was like our one person that like was really mainstream.
I didn't know he was half Asian until like... 5 years ago. It's like, what? Keanu?
Oh, really? Because when I saw The Matrix, I was just like, I'm a editor, Asian hero, yay. And so that was super exciting to watch The Matrix again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
And we watched it on Keanu Reeves' birthday.
We did. So we watched it on Labor Day and September 2nd for, I know this will be so important to so many of the other people in the audience, Keanu Reeves' birthday is September 2nd. So
he turned 55.
We need to celebrate that.
Happy birthday, Keanu.
Thank
Mr. Reeves.
You, Keanu. You should come on our show and tell us what it's like to be 55. And then you can impart some wisdom.
You can do a face mask with us because you do close-ups.
Yeah.
You do close-ups.
Yeah.
Oh, and recently he had close-ups because he's been in Always Be My Maybe. Mm-hmm. That's like the big thing.
Speaking of which,
yes,
I need to give you some shame for flaking out on me.
What? Okay, you're right.
Since we moved in together, it's like, hey, it'll be easier for us to hang out. And then we heard that Always Be My Maybe, this great movie starring
Ally Wong
and Randall Park with this awesome cameo with Mr. Reeves. I was like, oh my God, we need to sit down and watch this movie.
This is like peak Asian excitement.
Yes, we were so excited. And then we kept like scheduling. It's like, no, that's not going to work. And like, okay, we'll reschedule again. No, it's not going to work. And God damn it, Jenna, I have missed this pop culture moment because I keep waiting for you and you keep flaking out.
Wait, you haven't seen it yet?
I have not seen it yet because I'm waiting for you.
Oh.
I'm a good friend.
I am a terrible friend. Okay, so here, I thought that like after a month of me like never being able to like meet up with your schedule that you like had just gone ahead and already seen it, because I assumed that I was just like a terrible friend. No. And that like Randall Park and Ally Wong like were obviously worth like just going ahead and watching.
I was pretty tempted.
Wait, so then that means you've waited for like 3 months?
I have, yeah. I've been waiting so long.
Oh my God, I'm a terrible friend.
This is so hard to talk.
Yeah, we keep having to adjust our like face masks because as we're talking, they're like falling down our face. But I don't want to give up on it because I need to have snail essence.
I know, I need to be beautiful. I need to prevent the dust from falling off my face.
Okay, so Tabitha, I'm going to be, let's model how to be a good friend here. Okay. I apologize.
Okay.
For not committing to Always Be My Maybe.
Thanks for taking accountability.
I know. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for praising me for being a terrible person. Thank you. Thank you. So I will take accountability for that.
Got in my mouth. It was gone.
I will totally always be my maybe with you.
Yay.
And I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I'm a bad friend. I'm really bad about the like scheduling the watching of the things together, because like we were also supposed to watch Discovery together. This is why I'm terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. So, radio audience, we're gonna hold me to this.
You will. Commit.
We're gonna watch Always Be My Maybe sometime in the next week, because there's no excuses.
Yeah.
Okay. No excuse. Keanu, I'm sorry. I apologize. That's why he's
we
not calling in right
Keanu
now.
We should get Keanu to come watch Always Be My Maybe with us.
Oh my gosh.
It'd be amazing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'll email his people.
Okay.
And he'll be right on that, and we'll get him that next flight.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. So, other things that have been happening in Asia Land. Sonia, do we have that Jeremy Lin song?
Oh,
yeah, we got
boy.
Jeremy Lin song. Okay, Jeremy Lin has been in the news recently because Jeremy Lin is no longer in the NBA.
No!
He was our One Asian hero in the NBA.
Oh.
Right now, at least.
When he first got really popular, I don't follow sports, but he inspired me to follow sports.
I know, right? Like, I was like, oh, Linsanity. Okay,
yay,
yeah, I can get on board with this. And then it's been really sad to, like, kind of watch him.
Aww.
Like, in the last, like, he's been doing, like, you know, some interviews and stuff where he's been talking about his frustration of, like, not being able to sign with the NBA and thinking about going to China.
No, yeah, didn't he just
sign?
Sneaky steals, three-point goggles, kung fu moves.
I'm looking for
turnovers.
Is that you at the three-point line, dribbling the ball with your right arm? You got your own logo, now you drive a Volvo, miniature mogo, stardom's global. I heard Nike is a sponsor, you're opening the corner, benched in the fourth quarter, Coach McHale's orders.
Hard in forever, Parsons forever, black, Asian, white, most diverse team ever.
A sheet gets thinner, haircuts getting better. You start playing better, yeah. So you deserve all your cheddar. I wanna tell them about the playoffs just so they can get jealous. And if you see how far I do, tell them, knee how big fella.
Jeremy Lin, he's pretty quick too. I heard that he gon' pass the ball and get assist to you. I heard that he gets down on himself when they lose. I heard that sometimes insanity's still true. Jeremy Lin, I'm looking for,
yeah, you can pause that
now. I'm looking for, I'm looking
for, I need to show everyone my
Jeremy Lin,
I know. I'm looking for, I don't think I've ever heard this Jeremy Lin song before. But yeah, so Jeremy Lin, there's like, if you YouTube, there's like a ton of songs of Jeremy Lin. We also found like one that was like,
all I do is Lin.
Yeah, all I do is Lin.
Oh my god, that was
Lin,
amazing.
That one was
all
a funny
I do
parody.
Is Lin, Lin.
And it's just like this group of dudes. Anyhow, so I think that's sad.
I know.
News. But he's going to China, so
yeah.
Maybe, okay. We've had these on for 10 minutes.
I had to take my glasses off because I can't, and so his, like, I cannot
totally,
see.
Okay.
But I will believe you.
Okay,
and
okay.
I'm gonna,
let's peel these off.
What if we peel these off and it takes our skin with us?
Then everyone's gonna be really sad that we're not live streaming this right now.
Know, right?
And they're gonna be like, what brand of face mask is that? Don't buy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so gross.
Okay. So
How does your skin feel?
It has not fallen off into dust. My skin is super slimy right now.
Yeah.
But Tabitha, do I now look 20 years
you're
younger?
You're glowing.
Do I look like when
you
I watched The
radiant.
Matrix the first time?
You are a beautiful, youthful woman with glowing, bright skin. And even though that wasn't a whitening mask, I think your skin's a little whiter.
What? Why is the snail mask colorist? If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Jenna and Tabitha put on face masks on Pacific Underground here on KBOO Community Radio.
And laugh.
And laugh. Because it's Asian Femtime 2.0.
Woo.
If you're a fan of Pacific Underground, which you are because you're listening right now.
Yeah, clearly.
Then you know that we did Asian Femtime a year ago where we tried to do the double eyelid tape. So this time we thought we would try the Asian face masks to see if... Okay, this is the sound of us taking off the goo,
yeah,
with paper towels.
My face is so slimy, and I didn't have a snail mask, but whatever they put in there.
Okay, wait. Okay, Taz, let's look at you up close. Let's see. Yeah, no, I don't see a difference.
Oh, darn.
But I have a friend who lives off these things. He's just like, they are amazing.
I have friends that do them like weekly. It's like, oh, how do you do it?
You know, it's one of those things that's kind of like, you know, when you first start wearing moisturizer, you don't see a difference for
that's true.
A long time. So if you're one of those people who care about wrinkles, which these days I'm caring about them a lot. I used to not. I'm trying not to care, but I am. So if you, I've heard that they work.
Okay.
Buy
just
them
need
for,
to be consistent.
Just be consistent, I
like,
guess.
I've always been really skeptical of beauty products because your skin's not absorbent. What's going to absorb through your skin? But I'm like, I do it as a fun treat every now and then.
Yeah, I mean,
fun.
Like right now, I feel snail-tastic. I feel so connected.
I feel like you're going to start like ducking your head into your coat. Like, Jenna's wearing a coat right now, and I feel like you're going to start ducking into it like a snail whenever a threat comes
Well,
your
and
way.
You wore a dragon mask, so.
That's true. Clearly, what I need to be doing.
Are you just
is...
going to be like running into restaurants and granting them luck and like doing like
and
dragon
then,
and lion dance?
Yeah, and when it starts raining, I'm going to be dancing out in the street.
Why are we bad stereotypes?
Okay. We're terrible Asians.
Okay, but we're trying to be better Asians.
We are trying,
we're
to,
trying
be
to be better
Asians.
So one other update that I'll say is something I'm very proud of Tabby, and because this is a very difficult thing for Asian Americans, is that you are taking language lessons right now.
I am taking Chinese classes. It's something I thought about doing for 2 years, but like... Oh, how would I make it work out with my schedule? How could I afford it? Da 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 da. And then when I got my full-time job, it's like, what's my excuse now? There are lots of places that offer evening classes. And so I went and took some Chinese language classes. It's a 10-week course, and I just finished it for the summer term. And I'm already signed up for their fall term. It's not through PCC. It's through this independent Chinese language institute called Effective Chinese.
Is it effective Chinese?
I find it to be very effective Chinese.
So have you taken like Chinese language courses in the past?
I have not. I learned Chinese growing up as a kid. That's the language my parents spoke. But I like when I started going to elementary school, there was like this rejection of culture where I wanted to assimilate because I already looked different and kids were already making fun of me for looking different. It's like, I don't want to sound different or speak different. Mm. It's like, no Chinese. But, you know, that's the pressure that we put on immigrants and first generation people.
Yeah.
There was a time when, yeah, I didn't learn any Chinese or try to make an effort to speak Chinese. And it's like, I look back on that time, ugh, Tabby, what a jerk we were.
Well, did you ever consider taking, like, Chinese class before, like, this year?
No,
really?
I had not, yeah.
So what changed?
I thought about it for several years, and I think maybe what the catalyst was my grandfather's death. It's like I near the end of his life, I wasn't able to communicate with him, and I'm barely able to communicate with my grandmother, and it's like that made me really sad.
Yeah.
And I
totally feel that. I was really like, I wasn't able to talk to my grandparents either, and that's always like, even though they say no regrets, oh, tons,
yeah,
of regrets. Like, that's,
yeah,
that's a huge one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, well, now I have the time and I have the money, so I'm going to go take some Chinese lessons.
So I have a question for you. Is it coming back to you easily? Because you said, like, your parents spoke to,
mm-hmm,
you, so it's not like you have no exposure. So do you feel like you're relearning some things, or do you feel like it's all, like, new?
It's, like, it is so funny how, like, strangely still embedded in my memory it is, because there are some words and phrases that, like, I hear my teacher say, and it's like, I don't need a translation. I understand this. The thing that I am having the most trouble with are tones, because Chinese is a very tonal language. Like, there's a ma and ma, and maybe to some of y'all, you can't hear a difference. And also, I might be totally butchering what the word is, and I apologize for my bad pronunciation. But, like, whenever I watch Chinese language movie or TV show, like, I try really hard to listen to it and,
like,
ignore
critically.
Yeah, to see if I could, like, hear the tones. And the thing I've also found is that Mandarin, it's a very sing-songy language.
Mm.
And maybe because of, like, the vowel tones and such. But I find when I speak English, I feel like my language is very stilted and there's not a whole lot of rhythm to how I talk. But I find with Chinese, like, I'm a little bit more smooth and a bit more sing-songy, and my voice goes up and down a bit more.
Isn't it interesting when you speak other languages that, like, I mean, like, Chinese is tonal, but, like, literally the tone of your voice can change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can become higher pitched or lower pitched, and not because you're manipulating, but because of the essence of the language.
Yeah.
Like, forces your mouth into that,
mm-hmm,
right? It's
yeah.
so interesting. Okay, question. So, I know that your parents, your household was Mandarin and Cantonese. So,
mm-hmm,
why did you choose to take Mandarin classes versus, like, taking Cantonese?
Mandarin classes were the easiest to find. And I feel like that's because that is, since the communists took over, that is the official language of China. And also that was the language that my family all spoke. My dad's from Hong Kong, so he speaks Cantonese. But the rest of my family all speak Mandarin, and so that's why I chose to take Mandarin classes, because that's also what I grew up with. And I also find it interesting that, like, strangely how much Cantonese I kind of retain. Like, I don't speak Cantonese, but I know enough Cantonese to recognize when someone's speaking it. I have no idea what someone's saying, but I find it so interesting, like, how much of my brain has retained.
So, question about your class.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, like, one of the only Chinese people in the class, or is it there, like, lots of Chinese people in the class?
No, I was kind of nervous about, like, ugh, am I going to be the only Chinese person that's there? And, but when I went to class, there were other Chinese people there. There was even a Latinx person there, too. It was really cool. And
because I was, for people who don't know, especially for, like, Asian Americans, I don't know what it's like for other people, but, and I'm going to, say that we have a Pan-Asian experience, but I know, like, the first time I ever took a Japanese language class was when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only Japanese person in the room. I might have been one of two POC in the room. And so there was a lot of tokenizing and a lot of really cringy comments and, like, people just saying, like, really cringy things to me. And so it was really, really discouraging. And I wanted to learn the language, but it was, like, emotionally, like, very, very difficult. And so I only did, like, a semester of it and was just like, that I never want that experience again. Like, I came out of the class crying so many times. It was so ridiculous. And I didn't really understand why. I wasn't, like, as conscious yet. But I was just like, this is so uncomfortable. Like, why do all the other non-Asian people seem to be, like, totally chill with this? And why is this so emotional for me? And now I see, like, why. You know, because it was literally people just, like, making lots of microaggressions to me while I'm just trying to, like, learn a language, and then also language. Criticizing me for not knowing it a lot. And so I've always wondered what that would be like to be in a Japanese language class with other Japanese Americans. I feel like it would be emotionally easier.
I feel like that was definitely a concern, but I feel like maybe that might be more the experience of if I went to PCC or PSU, because this is like an independent sort of, like, language academy. It's not accredited, but it's just there to teach you Chinese. Also, it's a lot cheaper than PCC or PSU. That, yeah, maybe it was more encouraging to other Chinese people to come take learn Chinese. And so it was really cool that there were other white people there taking the class, but it was really cool that I was not the only Chinese person that's, like, trying to get back in touch with their heritage.
So the question is now is, okay, so you've taken 10 weeks, which means you're obviously 100% fluent.
I am 100% obviously fluent. I'm going to Beijing next
week.
You're
going to be a professional translator.
Yes.
You're just going to work for the UN.
Yeah, totally.
So do you feel like this has given you a personal sense of fill in the blank or whatever? Like, does it feel like, or is it just like, hey, whatever, shiny?
Yes, it has. Like, I definitely feel like, I was like, oh, I'm in my mid-30s. Could I really learn a language at this age? Oh, my memory's not bad, is terrible. And I was kind of amazed at how much my memory is still pretty good. I definitely need a lot more practice than in my 20s. When I hear some Mandarin being spoken, it's like, if you speak slowly enough, I can understand or get the general gist of your conversation. Also, I can now order 5 things at a Chinese restaurant.
Dude, that's gotta feel good.
It does.
Because the few Japanese words I have, at least for myself, I know mean a lot to me. Like, so when I can literally ask for water at a Japanese restaurant, I, like, want to high-five the room and be like, did you see that?
That was me.
At the same time, it also is a pathetic feeling where I'm just like, that was way, way too hard. And I think, like, when I was younger, I would be more hard on myself for, like, not knowing Japanese, because I always felt like you should know this because it was like my first language, and then I've just lost it, you know. But now these days, I'm just like, look, people, I'm just excited when I remember my phone number. So that means I'm also excited for the moment when I remember the word for bathroom in Japanese. Like, that is the most exciting moment. Like, little victories.
Have you thought about taking Japanese classes?
I have thought about it. And I will say that your taking Chinese inspired me in that, I don't know if you've noticed in my room, I put up two posters.
I did
notice. I put up a katakana and a hiragana poster because my reading at Japanese has gotten really bad. And that used to be something that I was actually pretty good at before. So, and I was pretty good at it before because of the amount of karaoke I have done in life, and that was how I practiced reading Japanese. So I don't know like Japanese in real sentences. Mm-hmm. I know Japanese that's like the longing of the
you
trees.
You were always gonna be my love.
Means you will always be my love, right? Like I know weird poetic Japanese.
Utada Hikaru for life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so I'm hope, and every day I've been going up to the chart and I just stare at it and I just practice like with my finger writing it, the alphabet over and over again. I feel it coming back. So I've been kind of taking, you know how Japanese is broken up into like ayo, kakeko. So I've been just like, okay, I can do all the kus. And so I'm just like, ka, ki, ku. And I just over and over and over again. I'm not sure if it's like working. Because I need to start karaoke again. I need to take that on as like
clearly
a serious thing.
Hey, just down the block from us opened a new karaoke bar by Baby Kitten. Their opening party, grand opening party was last night. We should have gone.
Wait, where is this?
It's like on Powell and 20th. Sometimes when I'm driving down Powell.
Wait, over by the Southeast Grind?
I don't want to give too much because I don't want to let people know where we live in case they want to like come over and practice karaoke with. I don't know. I guess you could come over. I'm just watching Star Trek all the time.
I know. It's like we're not doing, like no one's going to come over because they're like, what awesome things are you guys doing? We're like, we're doing snail mess and we're going to watch movies from 20 years ago and then we're going to analyze Star Trek episodes together because that's what we did last night.
That's what we did last night because pop culture news, I finally finished watching Star Trek Discovery. Michelle Yeoh is awesome.
There's Asian news.
Michelle Yeoh is the greatest.
Oh my gosh. Okay, spoiler alerts just right now. You got 2 seconds to shut off your radio because now we're going to talk about it.
Star Trek Discovery, live long and prosper.
Two. Oh my gosh. Okay, so Michelle Yeoh is going to be having her own show.
Yay!
Called Section 31 on CBS All Access.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
I'm also curious.
She's so amazing.
Yes. I'm also curious if she's going to be back in Crazy Rich Asians 2. Because
I haven't read the book that's the sequel to Crazy Rich Asians, so I'm very curious about which characters.
She was so good in that movie,
dude. Crazy Rich Asians. You were telling me something about Crazy Rich Asians last night that we need to talk about.
This is some exciting, like I guess, gender equality.
Oh wait, hold up. Before we talk about that,
we need to finish.
We need to let people know. No, we just need to do a show ID because we're super pro around here.
Oh yeah, so pro. You are listening to Pacific Underground. You are listening to me, Tabitha Teo, and I'm joined by Jenna Yokoyama. We're having Asian Femme Time 2.0. I feel like I need one of those air horns. Like,
yeah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, we need a hype horn. 2.0. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're too old for that. I'm not quite sure.
I'm never too old for air horns.
Or whatever the Asian American equivalent of the air horn.
A gong.
It's stuff.
We need a gong. Clearly it's a gong.
One of those little desk gongs. You can do that. You're Chinese. Yeah. I would just erase this.
But Michelle Yeoh, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, was so good in Star Trek Discovery. And also, spoiler alert, I think I figured out why the Admiralty in the Federation is terrible, because the only good Admiral in Starfleet dies.
I mean, that's...
I'm not saying who it is, but...
Michelle Yeoh doesn't die. We'll just say that.
Yes, Michelle Yeoh does live to the end. Yay!
Well, kind of. Okay, spoilers. Here we go. You got 2 more seconds to shut off the radios if you... Is that she does die, kind of, right? Like, in Discovery.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and then parallel universe her, because that's how Star Trek goes these days, is everything's in a freaking parallel universe.
And time traveling.
And then, so then Michelle Yeoh comes back, because at first you're sad. You're like,
oh,
no.
I know. When I heard that she was going to be part of the show, we talked about this.
Yeah, and it was super exciting. Like, and then they kill off her character right away.
No!
And then she comes back, and it just gets better.
Oh, my gosh.
So I
want to cosplay.
So, Michelle Yeoh, since you obviously listen to our show,
clearly,
come onto our show, give us a call, let us know How, I mean, she must wear a lot of snail masks. So she looks so good.
Her skin is glowing. I know. Tell us what it was like to work with a Pierce Bronson. And
I mean, when she's on Discovery, she like, she does all the action sequences. Like,
oh,
let's face it.
She?
Like, she, I mean, when she, think about all the fighting sequences
she
does. She
has so many excellent fight scenes. I also want to.
I mean,
to,
girls in her 50s.
Yeah, I in my mind, she's, I want to pretend like she choreographs all of her fight scenes in Discovery. that's what it's,
ooh,
like in my mind.
Yeah, I'd like to think that they try to do a choreography and she's
like,
excuse me, no one choreographs Michelle Yeoh. And then she's,
I've worked
just like,
with some of the greatest kung fu directors in,
yeah,
China.
And she's like, I'm sorry, you planned a fight sequence where I didn't end up kicking someone straight in the face? Just like one kick to think, nope. Because that's hurt so much.
I know.
Okay, right. So yeah. Oh, talking about CBS Discovery and All Access and bridging to the next thing, because that's how we professionally do the radio.
Segways.
I went to Comic-Con.
Woo!
That is something big that I went, nerd updates.
And not just any Comic-Con.
I went to
the Comic-Con
in San Diego and realized how much
I was so
of an introvert hermit I am, because I was like, there's 250,000 people here and I can't handle it.
If you didn't want to be there, I was more than happy to be
there. I mean, it was super
place.
Cool. It was super cool because I will say that, okay, in Asian Land, I went to the CBS All Access booth.
Yay!
And I got to.
Was Michelle Yeoh there? I hope.
Yeah,
she was,
just standing there.
She was
just like one of the line assistants. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, she wasn't there. But I did get to see that, and that was cool. But in Ageland, I met George Takei. I totally stood in line forever to get an autograph on his book. Which,
oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah. And I did. I got to interview the illustrator of his graphic novel, because he just came out with this book called They Call Us Enemy. And so if you go back and listen to Between the Covers from a couple months ago, you'll hear an interview that I did with the graphic artist. And so that was super exciting because she is a Japanese American artist.
Oh, cool.
And so got to meet her, got to meet George Takei, and got to go through the CBS All Access.
Did you get a picture with Mr. Takei?
No, because it was like you couldn't stop to do a photo with him. It was one of those like you just like get an autograph, and I could have had somebody else take the picture of me talking to him, but I didn't have another person there. And
what,
I have a picture
Takei's
with him from when he came to Portland last time. This was actually my second time meeting him.
Oh, your
second
time?
Because we're obviously best friends.
BFFs through the Japanese community.
Yeah, well, and every time I've met him, it's because I've paid to meet him. So which obviously means we're besties.
Clearly.
So that was exciting. And then the other Asian thing that I did there was, I did Asian Femme Time for you, Tabitha. Do you remember what I did? I stood in front of the Tokidoki booth.
Yay!
For like an hour waiting for it to open because I was able to get in a little early.
Yay!
I was on a vendor pass. And I do not understand Tokidoki at all, even though I am Japanese, but Tabitha is obsessed.
I love Tokidoki.
Yeah, so if you got Tokidoki, send it on over to Tabitha.
Yes. And any old Tokidoki, doesn't matter condition.
I mean, it was amazing. Like if I hadn't gotten there an hour early, like I would have been waiting in line for like 3 hours to get you
a
trinket.
I bet it would have been a mob.
It was great. So I stood there.
You got me a tote bag, which was in San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Exclusive.
And I love that tote bag. It's so useful.
All I say is that all I learned from Comic-Con is that you got to go in with your elbows ready.
Because
you got to like fight your way through the crowd to get the tote bags and then get all the things. But that was super exciting. And the other Asian update for Comic-Con is that it was not as cringy in the cosplay as I thought it was going to be. There was
really?
Only one booth that like sold fake like kimonos and
Ew.
Stuff, but otherwise I feel like what I saw was cosplay land figuring out how to move away from appropriation.
Yay!
So that was awesome.
Shout out to the nerds.
Yeah, go nerds. And
to
I think
the SJW nerds.
Well, one, it has to do, I think, with Asians calling it out,
mm-hmm.
but also like the representation that we see just within the movies that everybody's cosplaying after.
Yeah.
And in the comics, there's just such better representation.
Yeah.
That people can dress up as Asian characters without having to dress up
yeah.
as generic Asian people.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly, like, now that there's so much more representation out there, like, POC people have a lot more variety of cosplay to do. And also because of continually calling out white people cosplaying as POC characters, that like, oh, I should let the POC people have their POC characters to dress up
yeah.
as, because white people, you have such a variety of characters to cosplay. Why do you have to cosplay as Asian characters or Latinx or black characters? You have so many characters.
I know. Well, at least at Comic-Con, they announced some new characters.
Yay!
Right, that Simu Liu from Kim's Convenience, which if you haven't seen season three, have you seen season three yet?
I haven't seen Kim's Convenience at all. I'm feeling like now like a bad Asian for not seeing Kim's Convenience on Netflix.
Okay, so clearly, here's the plan. Mm-hmm. You and I need to stop being super responsible adults who are trying to get benefits and 9-to-5 jobs.
Clearly.
And we need to stay home for the next week, watch Kim's Convenience seasons 1 through 3, always be my maybe, while snail masking the whole time.
Yes.
And then high five at the end of the week and go, adulting!
Adulting.
And then we lose our jobs.
I mean, I've got some sick time and PTO saved up.
Oh my God, wait, yeah. So I've been working a lot of overtime, so I better have all this comp time too. So is that what we should do with like our vacation time?
Yes.
It's just super Asian. Okay, so Simu Liu at Comic-Con, it was announced that he's going to be playing Marvel's Shang-Chi. So
I am not familiar with this character.
It doesn't matter. But neither am I, because he's our first Asian American like Marvel hero. So this is
with his own independent Marvel movie.
Yay! Yes.
Other Asian news. I am super excited about the Mulan live action movie.
I didn't want to like it, and then I saw the preview, and I was just
I have not seen any previews.
Oh, really?
I'm so excited. I've made it a point to not watch any of the live action movies because at least in theaters, because what's the point? They're just shot for shot remakes. But I feel like it is a cultural responsibility for me to go see Mulan.
I like how it's a cultural responsibility for you to go see Disney's Mulan.
Live action. Well, in the 90s when they first came out the animated movie, like my parents as a family, we barely ever went to the theater. If I went to the theater, it was usually with friends. But I remember in the 90s, my parents were like, okay, we're going to go see Mulan. This is our representation. And my parents were there in the theater with my sister and I, and we watched Mulan.
You know what? That reminds me of like when I was in college, my mom flew up to San Francisco and we went and saw The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise, because it was like, well, this is the closest Japanese
thing.
And it was so exciting.
Yeah.
And we were just like, wow, that was so exciting, except for Tom Cruise. Wow.
Yay. Hey, it introduced American audiences to, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't remember his name, but he was Inception. He is such a good actor.
Who are you talking about?
See, I can't remember his name, but he's a very distinctive Japanese actor.
In
The Last Samurai.
Are you talking about Ken Watanabe?
Yes.
Ah.
Thank you.
I was going to say, like, Tom Cruise's
samurai.
Weird yellow faceness. Oh my gosh, we're almost out of time. So we need to, like, give some shout outs. And also in Asialand news, is that the Slants. The Slants are doing their last show here in Portland on November 9th. I think it's over here at the Doug Fir. And so that's sad. You know, they've done so much. And they've been around for years. But so it's sad that, like, you know, this band that, like, you know, it's supportive of Pacific Underground. They've been on our show. Yeah. So thank you.
Push through all this great copyright legislation.
I know. All the way to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Yay.
Go
so big, big shout out to Simon and the Slants. And I think we even got one of their songs to take us out for Asian Femme Time 2.0. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I'm slimy. I'm beautiful.
I need to go wash my face.
Sorry if my notes too sharp. Sorry if my voice too raw. Don't make the pen a weapon and censor our intelligence until our thoughts were nothing at all. Sorry if you take offense. You made a fool's and played pretend. You know you fear change. It's something so strange. Nothing's gonna get in our way. There's no from the heart, from the heart, from the heart.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process, starting with Iowa.
I always remember to ask, what are you going to do about the debt ceiling? Because it'll affect our generation, and it's bad because we'll be in debt with other nations, and we'll have to pay it off, and it's not going to be a good retirement for us.
That was 11-year-old Thomas Sauer. He's one of the many young people participating in caucus events. He's from Nevada, Iowa, and he asked this at Coffee with the Candidates, a series of events hosted by City Council member Luke Spence. Spence said there are two issues that almost always come up, both of which have to do with the burden of future generations, national debt and climate change.
The generation of a certain age seems to be the one who tends to talk more about the financial end of things with the deficit, and those numbers are not getting better for the most part, so they want to see them improve so that they can leave something better for the next generation than a big pile of debt. So the younger crowd always wants to ask the climate change issue, and I think that's because they're going to be the ones that have to deal with the consequences of that.
This week in particular, climate change has definitely been on the agendas of candidates running for president. Nicole Guio, with Friends of the Earth, talked about her reaction to the CNN marathon show on climate change earlier this week.
What I was hoping to hear is really detailed information on how they plan to tackle the challenge. And I think a lot of credit goes to the youth activists who have really demanded answers from our leaders. And we